You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Darren Owen, James Millman and Paddy Aspel in the studio. It's Windsor, Uttoxeter and Cartmel domestically on Sunday. We've also got a very good card over in Ireland from the Curragh. The feature there being the Fillies Group 1 Pretty Polly Stakes. So a good Sunday to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Stuart Beasley. How are you, Stuart?
Yes, very well. How are you, Mark?
I'm good, thank you. Now we're recording this on Saturday, so most of the big headlines will be written after we've recorded this, of course. But there's a few stories we can talk about. One that caught my eye, Golden Horn. Apparently he's had a great gallop, he's on track for the Eclipse. And it'd be great to see the Derby winner back out again, wouldn't it, Stewie? You looking forward to seeing him there?
Oh, absolutely brilliant, yeah. And I think this time we have got, there's no argument, is there? We've got a great Derby. I mean, we're talking just before Jack Hobbs gets into action this afternoon at the Curragh, but the view really from, I think, from all racing fraternities is that had Golden Horn not run and won in the Derby as emphatic as it would have had a good winner in Jack Hobbs. So the fact that it gave that, you know, a comfortable beating, I think we have got a true Derby one there, and I'll be disappointed if the colours are lowered.
Yeah, just going through the betting for the Eclipse. Golden Horn 8-11 at the moment. New Bay 7-2. 5-1 for the Grey Gatsby. Western Hymn 12s and 14s for Highland Reel. About right?
Yeah, I'd say about right. The Grey Gatsby, absolutely fantastic. I mean, Kevin Ryan was saying earlier on this season, Mark, that he's really upset that it doesn't seem to get the credit. And to be honest, I'm sort of guilty of that. I'd be thinking, yeah, Grey Gatsby, you know, he can pick holes in the form. But that run last time out at Royal Ascot, truly brilliant. Should have won the race for sure. He took it like a man, did Kevin Ryan as well. And he showed that he's no back number whatsoever. So a good test for Golden Horn, but I think he'll come through it.
Yeah, he was one of the more unlucky runners of the week, wasn't he, really?
Yeah.
And it just showed a good pace on quick ground, and the Grey Gatsby's right up there with the best. And Group 1 winner, of course, in the past, beat Australia last year.
Yeah.
He deserves a bit more credit. I agree with the comments from Kevin Ryan, to
yeah,
be fair.
I do now, yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough. Bit of other news, Richard Hughes talking about the fact that he might end up training before the end of the season, which is interesting. I thought he'd give it one big last push and try and get the jockey's title and then move on to the training, but
yeah,
probably not the case.
Because the winner at Royal Ascot, the winner there for Richard Hannon, and obviously it's Richard Hannon Jr. now, it seemed to bring a lot of emotion about for especially trainer and jockey to a certain extent as well. I suppose in some respects he hasn't hit the front of the title yet, and that's not really unexpected because he sort of gradually works his way into it. He had to work into it because of the suspension before and what have you. So that's no real surprise. But in some respects, I don't think he's been, I wouldn't say not quite as committed, but not busting the gut just exactly the same. So maybe we could have half expected it. And of course, a big shake-up in the betting mark for the Jockey Championship. Our odds compilers have had to react.
4-9 for Ryan Moore at the top of the betting. Richard Hughes 7-2. Sylvester D'Souza, who's having a great season, says he's not going to chase the title though. He's 9-2. 16s for William Buick and 33-1 or bigger for the others.
They all seem to say that though, don't they?
Yeah.
Ryan Moore, if he wins, it's going to be by default because he's telling you now that there's big races right at the end there. If it gets tight, he's off to Australia and Japan and what have you. So he's been fair enough. So we can't say that we haven't been told or warned.
That's the thing with Ryan Moore, isn't it? He's going to get a stack of winners. He's obviously backed by Coolmore as well now. And
yeah,
every year we see him leave at the end of the season, if you like, and go ride elsewhere. Yeah. So yeah. I suppose it's one of those things, the jockey title doesn't really matter to Ryan Moore.
No.
Even though he's the best jockey around.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right.
Yeah. Anything else caught your eye in the news, Stewie?
Not really. Obviously, we're going into today with Newcastle. There's been much debate about the goings-on up there, but we'll sort of watch and see. On the morning line this morning, you know, everybody that was sending tweets in was against it, but I guess that, you know, that they came on and defended their position, the owners, and said, look, it'll be even better and what have you. I just wonder if we still can have the big fields and what have you, because most of the all-weathers don't. But other than that, it's very much a watching brief, isn't it? But it looks like that's actually accelerating now, you know, that their intentions.
Mm. Okay, well, should we leave that there and move on?
Yes.
Yes, Sunday's racing is fast approaching, and Stuart's got four races for us. We'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, good Sunday to come this week, and we're going to look ahead to the action at Uttoxeter and Cartmel domestically, and a couple of good races over in the Curra. So we'll start in the 3:35 at Uttoxeter, the John Smith Summer Cup, a listed handicap chase over 3.25 miles. Nice big field of 18 here, Stewie, so how do you whittle it down for us?
Well, I've just to say at the start as well, Mark, what fantastic racing we've got. There's a lot of people that slag Sunday racing off, I've been known to myself, but we've got superb, something for everyone this time around. And for you, National Hunt enthusiasts, what a contest you've got, as Mark's already said. 18 runners here for this John Smith's Summer Cup. And, well, narrowing it down to three is really hard. I mean, you've got the Pike pair, and you've got to respect them because they always go chasing these races. They've done it for years, and they've had their success, you know, on many an occasion. You've got last year's third, that's Bears Affair. That one, though, has collared top weight with a win on the reappearance as well. But the ones that I'm sort of narrowing it down to are those mentioned, and also Speedmaster, I think, is an interesting one. Sam and Nigel Twist and Davis teaming up. Now, I'm not going to make that my actual selection, but I would definitely be having a saver on this one because they know the time of day. They'll have been chasing this. This has been, you know, the target for it. It's a 60 grand race, not getting many of them around this time of year. So they'll be going for that one. It won a hurdle last time, but it does stay. If it's thereabouts, you can imagine them sort of lying handy, as they tend to do with those black and colours with the white sleeves. You always see them prominent. And then, you know, turning for home, if it's still thereabouts, it'll be hard to pass. And I think that a feature of Sam's riding has been that he's really strengthened up. He's damned hard to pass now when he's in front. But the selection, Mark, is going to be, obviously you need real stamina here, and it's going to be Silver Man, a horse that comes here banging form. Yeah, it's pretty prominent in the market, I'm afraid. Nico de Bonville, also there riding all the winners just now. And by Silver Patriarch as well, you know, stamina in abundance. All the Silver Patriarchs can stay. That was a real classy flat horse. But Silver Man is certainly going to be my selection to land the hat trick here and take the Summer Cup.
Okay, Silver Man for Stewie. In the Summer Cup, he bolted up at Aintree last time as well, didn't he? Won by 16 lengths, so pretty impressive performance last time. Moving to Cartmel next, a bit more jumping. This is the 4:55, and it's a Class 2 handicap hurdle over the extended 2 miles and 1 furlong. We've got 11 of them in the lineup here. Stuart, who do you side with in there?
Yeah, it's a really interesting one. Changed my mind a couple of times about this. I was having a look at Captain Brown because that's at the Moffat Yard, and the Moffats have been sort of landing little coups at Cartmel, Mark, before you even start studying racing. So I know that they're still like a little bit of a touch there, so they'll be hoping for good things there. And then, of course, you know, course form can be quite important at Cartmel. It is a quirky old track, isn't it? Lovely. I've been there a couple of times myself. Smart Ruler and Volcanic Jack are both course winners. But the two that I've picked against the field, Court Minstrel, didn't show at all last time out, but I could see this one being held up. I mean, Court Minstrel's actually had the weights altered for some of them as well due to his lofty weight there. He's quite quirky, though. Paul Maloney, perfect jockey for a hold-up. You could just see him sort of picking them off, you know, one after one. I think he might be in the mix, but I've had to go for commissioned. You mentioned when we were talking about the Summer Cup, Mark, the importance of Aintree form with my selection, Silverman, bolting up there. And this commissioned, I can't remember too many times, the Ferguson Yard raiding Cartmel. Might be wrong about that, but I don't think so. Mikey Ennis is claiming a vital five, and this one was running a cracker at Aintree when unseating the rider. Still had every chance of winning, you know, late on in the race. So what I'm thinking is, you know, if he'd come here finishing second or third in that race, even never mind winning it, it'd be fairly short price probably, because I think that that race is better than the Cartmel one that we're going to see tomorrow.
Yeah, that was a grade two, wasn't it? So yeah, the form's... Yeah.
Well, superior.
Yeah.
So basically, if commissioned was going to run a true race there, he should be right in the mix here, if not, you know, passing the line in front.
He's wearing the cheek pieces for the first time as well, which might just keep him focused and bring out a little
bit more. Exactly, yeah, make him jump better, because you do have to jump him, don't you? It's no good being unlucky.
Yeah, fair enough. Commission then for Stewart in the 4.55. Moving over the Irish Sea to the Curragh for the final two races. We look at a good card there, and the feature is the 4.30, which is the See the Stars Pretty Polly Stakes. It's a fillies group one over a mile and a quarter. And we've got some betting on site, so I'll relay that as well. Legatissimo is the 7-4 favourite. 5-1 for Brooch. Ribbons is 11-2 with Pleashcock. Diamonds and Rubies 6-1. Sevens for Secret Gesture. And 25-1 or bigger prices for the others. A great lineup for the Pretty Polly Stewart.
Absolutely brilliant, true Group 1 race, this one. Fantastic stuff from Stars of the Present, from Stars of the Past. You don't know where to start, really. A good test, though, for Royal Ascot form as well, with Pleascott there running a cracker in the Ribblesdale. So eyes on that one, hoping that that one runs quite well. It isn't going to be my selection, by the way. Also, Legatissimo, of course, second in the Oaks. Many people think, you know, a bit of a freak result, probably should have won and what have you. No blame, obviously, attached to, you know, to Ryan Moore and what have you there. But Legatissimo looked like it was going to win all the way, and just maybe, you know, sort of freakish conditions just sort of threw out that result. We might know more after today. But also Secret Gesture, as good as ever at 5. And indeed, Fanshawe and Dettori tear me up, of course, with Ribbons. That's another one. But my selection is going to be the Unbeaten Brooch. Started favourite 4 times and won 4 times. So you could argue, is there any substance in the form? It's been expected to win every time. And it's not won over this distance either. But the manner of the victories, I reckon that Brooch will get home. And I think at 5-1. It represents true value. I probably wouldn't go each way. Sometimes I go each way at 5-1, but I probably wouldn't go each way because I think Brooch will either take it in a stride and sort of, you know, do the business, or that form will be found to be suspect and I'll be proved wrong, and then, you know, she'll be out of it because there's so much quality in here. She's got to be really good to win this one. But I'm going to take a chance with Brooch at 5.
Okay, Brooch for Stewart in there. Then I'm looking forward to seeing how Legatissimo gets on here, because the draw was obviously no favour at all in the Oaks.
Still, another good point.
Yeah, yeah. Did remarkably to even get that close for me from draw one, stall one. So,
and yet she had it won, didn't she? Filling out, really.
So I'm interested to see. And obviously the drop back to a mile and a quarter,
that
I think
could
we'll
be ideal.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's a really good point, the drop back, because if you're looking at where she was there at the Oaks at that stage, you know, it's weighed in, really.
Yeah. Really looking forward to that, the Pretty Polly Stakes. The final race we look at is the 5 o'clock, and we finish here with the Rockingham Handicap, a 5 furlong contest. Plenty of them in the lineup here as well, Stuart. 24 of them, in fact. I'll just spin through the betting as well. Zolti and Master Speaker are both 8-1 at the top of the betting, joint favourites there. 11-1 for Discussion to Follow. Bubbly Bellini is 12s. Desert Law, another one at 12s. 14-1 for Ardumi and Chiclet. Insolutum and Kimbe are also 14-1, and it's 16s or bigger for the others. Nice, easy puzzle for you to solve here to finish off, Stuart.
Yeah, just hang on a minute, Mark. I'm just sort of releasing the pin now. I've got three here, and I'd be delighted, but probably surprised if I've managed to nail it in the three, if I'm being perfectly honest. But Ardumi, second in listed company last time, so boasts a bit of class for this handicap. So I think that one's got every chance. How many times do we see Fran Berry end up in the winner's enclosure as well? Prince Connoisseur is was on the hat trick, I say, last time out at Tipperary, but it was a seasonal reappearance. I've got a feeling that, you know, today might be, or that Sunday, as we're looking ahead, will be the plan rather than that first time out at Tipperary, where I don't think Prince Connoisseur did itself justice at all. I think there'll be a lot better run from that one, especially with Fran Berry up there. The one I'm going to go for, though, is Desert Law, Paul Midgley and Martin Lane. You might remember a couple of weeks ago, if you were listening to William Hill Racing Radio, we had a big sprint, didn't we, at the Curragh, and Paul Midgley sent two over. They weren't particularly fancied in the betting, but under Paul Mulrennan, he got the winner. And, you know, it is sort of typical Midgley. He's in form, loves the sprinters, and so I'm going to go and take a chance for that Desert Law.
Yeah, he's sent one over on Saturday as well, hasn't he? Obviously, we're recording this before it runs, it'd be interesting to see how he got respected when he sends him over to Ireland, because
tend to run well. He knows the time of day, doesn't he? You know, and I thought it was interesting, you know, that he booked Paul Mulrennan on the what looked like the second string on the day.
Yeah.
But it bolted up, and I wasn't that surprised. I mean, for me, Paul Mulrennan's as good as anyone in the sprints. You know, he wins so many of them at York. Not been the case yet this season, but in the last couple of years, he's been absolutely A1.
Okay, let's have a quick summary then, Stewie, if you'll spin us through your selections for Sunday one more time.
Yes, I certainly can, yeah. We're going to start off, aren't we, in the 3.35 at Uttoxeter of the Summer Cup, and I'm going to go with Silverman there, Stamina in Abundance. I'm going for Cartmel Commissioned, John Ferguson's commissioned at Cartmel for the 4.55. And then at the Curry and the Pretty Polly are taking a chance with Brooch. And then in that wide open 5 o'clock, I narrowed it down to 3. But pinned against the wall, as I am just now by Mark, for 1, it's Desert Law.
Good stuff, Stuart. Yeah, thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Sunday.
Certainly will. Looking forward to it.
So there you go. My thoughts of Stuart Beasley on Sunday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50 PM. Darren Owen, James Millman and Paddy Aspel will be the team in the studio. It's Windsor, Uttoxeter and Cartmel domestically. Good card over in the Curragh as well. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.